Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy. And I hope you have your sermon notes, by the way. I want you to, if you don't have your sermon notes, they're at the tables upstairs and downstairs at the doors you walked in, and you can just run and grab those if you need your sermon notes. I want you to look at the first page of your sermon notes, and you can open your Bible to Galatians chapter 3, because we're going to open our Bible to Galatians 3. It's going to take me a minute to get there, but we've been talking about these kingdom realities, and you see them on your notes, these five kingdom realities, okay? And here's what I want you to know as we talk about these five kingdom realities. We've already talked about the other four, and last week, and then this week, and probably next week, we're going to be talking about faith. And faith is activating. So what I want you to see, that first blank there, is that faith activated. We want to be faith activated. So here's a little test that you can do in all of these, just to kind of see if your faith is really activating. As a matter of fact, before I give you that little test, let's look at on your notes. Let's look at that scripture we already studied in this series, but it's Romans 5, 1 and 2. And I have it right there on your notes, that therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Notice the tense of that. We having been. So if you're a born-again believer, you're a disciple of Christ, it's a possession of yours. This is already true of you. It's not something that's becoming true. It's something that is true. You are justified by faith. And then you have peace with God. So if there's ever a time in your life where you don't feel like you have the peace of God, it's a lie. It's a lie. Because the Word of God says, for those who have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. So somebody tell me, what is strong enough to interrupt or remove the peace that God gives you? Nothing, unless you let it. Nothing, unless you let it. This should be like a broken record to you. You assign meaning to every word, every person, place, thing, every situation, everything you hear, everything you read. Everything you think about, every event in your life, you are the one that assigns the meaning and the value to it. And so the point being, you should assign meaning to every person, place, thing, event, thought, whatever, conversation. You should assign meaning from the perspective of, I have peace with God. Not from the perspective of, oh my goodness, I need peace with God. You should always operate from the reality of the King who lives inside of you as a disciple of Christ. And so it goes on to say that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access. Everybody say access. By faith. So the access is by faith. The access is by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we've talked about this verse before, but what I want you to know, this word access, there's a Strong's number, 4318, pro blah, 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 whatever the word is. And here's what that word means. Look at this, admission. And right above the word admission, I want you to write paid in full. Because your admission, the access that faith gives you, the activating agent that faith is for all of us, the admission has already been paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. He gave us the gift of His faith. He didn't just give us faith, He gave us His faith. So faith is trust, faith is divine persuasion. We talked about it last week. So what Jesus gave us is not only the relationship that He had with it, that He has with His Heavenly Father, He gave us the divine persuasion that He has towards His Heavenly Father. Everything Jesus did, He said, I do what I see my Father doing. I speak what I hear my Father saying. All that comes out out of him being divinely persuaded by faith. And so Jesus gave us the admission into the faith that operated in Jesus' life. So you can walk by the faith of Jesus as you walk with faith in Jesus. Does that make sense? And so you have access. So anytime there's a circumstance or a thought or an event or a word or a situation that comes to you and says, access denied, it's a lie. There's no one who can, if you're a born-again believer, there is no one and nothing that can deny you access to the faith that Jesus operated in except you. That's why Jesus said many times, let it be done according to your faith. Faith is activating. And so this access is not only admission, that's Jesus paid in full, it's an introduction. It's interactive access and intimate face-to-face access, and it's direct access. And what I want you to know about this is you have admission, and then you have an introduction. And I feel like when I was praying about this, that some of you right now are getting for the first time in your life a true, legit, introduction to faith. That you've heard the word faith, but you didn't know how it operated. You've heard a denominational version of faith, a traditional version of faith, but now you're hearing a kingdom version of faith. And it's an introduction to you. And then once you are introduced to it, you have admission, and then you have the introduction. Now you have to start interacting with it. You got to start interacting with it. And as you start interacting with faith, then what will start happening as you interact with it is you'll grow into intimacy with it. The introduction leads to interaction. The interaction leads to intimacy, which is a face-to-face relational thing. Faith should always be relational. Always be relational. Your relationship with Jesus. Your relationship with the Father through Jesus. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit through Jesus. It's always relational. Your faith should be relational. Your faith should be personal, meaningful, intimate. We're going to talk about that over this week and next week. So look at Galatians chapter 3. Look over at Galatians chapter 3. And I think Danny might have read the scripture and taught about this a little bit a few weeks ago, but I want to read this. I want to look at Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And for those of you who are looking at the scripture, when you got it, say got it. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Do me a favor, everybody say, the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you are now being made perfect or mature or complete or strong by the flesh? Or by the flesh, meaning by the working of the law, by the work of your effort, by the work of your performance. Verse 4, have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, everybody say believe, and it was accounted to him as righteousness or for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So here's what you need to see, and this is the little bit of a test that I want you to get, is are you walking in the access of faith that Jesus has paid the admission for you to get there? Are you at an introductory level? Are you at an interactory level? Or are you in an intimate level with faith? Because you, without faith, you cannot please God, the Bible says. Everything you will, everything in the kingdom of God, from salvation and everything forward, is released by grace through faith. Everything. There never is a point. It's not like you get saved by faith, and then it's about what, then it's about your works. See, you are a partner with God. Being a disciple of Christ means you are a partner with God. And these five kingdom realities are the realities of the King. The realities of the King, the overflowing realities of the King, are the realities of the kingdom. And when Jesus came to the earth, what he said is, repent. He didn't say, repent because there's a new synagogue showing up. First synagogue of Jerusalem. He didn't say there's a new whatever. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven. Watch this. What he's saying is, repent. Change the way you think. Because the King is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's within your reach. It's within your reach. And if you want your life to be transformed, stop reaching for the things of the flesh and start reaching for the things of faith. Because faith gives you access. See, just look at the top of that page in your notes. Look at how faith activates. See, if faith activates grace in your life. Grace is in which you stand, which is motivated by love, which is led by the Spirit, which is Scripture fed and holds its truth in Scripture and its anchor in Scripture. And so what you need to ask yourself before you're going to do something, when you're processing, what should I do? Or is this the right way? Is this the right attitude? Is this the right action? Here's a little test you can do. Is what you're thinking or what you're about to do or how you're thinking, is it Scripture fed? And if not, finito, be done with it. Is it Spirit led? Is it motivated by the love of God? Is it empowered by the grace of God? And is it activated by faith in God? And if those five things are not true about whatever you're about to do, don't do it. If you want the realities of the King in your life, in your family, in your business. See, somebody says, oh, I want the blessing of the Lord. I want the Lord to bless me. Really? Then if you want that, you have to walk by faith into grace, stand and walk in love, and be Spirit led and Scripture fed. Those realities. You've got to have all five. And when you have all five, the blessing and gifting and anointing and authority of the King will operate in you, will operate through you, and will overflow into other people's lives. And when they say, wow, I can't believe what you did, you say, I didn't do it. He did it. I'm his partner. I'm junior partner. He's senior partner. That's what faith looks like. And so if you turn over the next page, look at Hebrews. Go over to Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to look at a couple Bible verses. Hebrews chapter 3. Oh, I love hearing those Bible pages turn. You sound so spiritual. It's really good. Hebrews chapter 3. We'll start in verse 12 and just read for a minute. Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers, that means partners, of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, now this is quoting back from Psalm 95, today if you will hear his voice and do not harden your hearts as in rebellion, for who having heard but rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? That means the promise of his rest. But to those who did not obey. So we see that they could not, not that they wouldn't, but they could not enter in because of unbelief. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering or having access, admission paid to enter his rest, let us fear, lest, that means respect, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For if indeed the good news, the gospel, was preached to us as well as to them, but the word, everybody say word, which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter the rest, as he has said, and it goes on, just amazing stuff. So looking at your notes, the thing that you can do today, and I love how it says today, because that's the prophetic aspect of the Word of God. That's the Holy Spirit taking the eternal Word of God and making something that has already existed and bring it by a spirit of prophecy and just life, and the Holy Spirit brings and says today, today. And I'm telling you, what God will do is you get a heart of faith to say, God, I want to be a good steward of the access that you've given me. I want to be a good steward of the access that you've given me so that I can be introduced to it, so that I can begin to interact with it, and so I can begin to have intimacy with God through faith. And if I want to do that, even through times of battle, you know, the times you're attacked the most, the times that you are assaulted the most, the time when hell throws everything it can at you and you are in your valley and you are ready to give up and you are overwhelmed. Your flesh has an attitude. The devil's got an attitude and everybody around you got an attitude. On those days, you have to remember that you have access by faith into the grace of God. On those days, you need to know that that day is a today. That day is, and the Holy Spirit makes it possible for the promise of God to be prevalent today. That some of us say, no, God did that yesterday, or God, whatever. God was powerful, but the truth is God is powerful. God, it's not God was faithful, it's God is faithful. In a time when you're struggling and you're questioning what God is doing in the present, you can look back to the past to see who he is and who he was, to remind you that the Holy Spirit will speak to you and say, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing has changed. But see, something happens to you. Somebody says something. Somebody does something. And it triggers you. Anybody ever been triggered? Triggers you. And then you think everything's changed. Nothing has changed. He's still on the throne. His word still reigns. And so today you can hear his voice. Today you can hear his voice. He said, my sheep, hear my voice. And today do not harden your hearts. If your heart is hard, it's because of your attitude and your actions. Nobody else can harden your heart. I want you to hear that. Nobody else can harden your heart. And that word harden means dried up, inflexible, stubborn. Anybody know somebody like that? Resisting the word of God. Now, we wouldn't just outright resist the word of God. We'd do it like a Christian. We'd justify it by other verses. You know, you can resist the promise that the Holy Spirit is speaking to your today by misquoting and misunderstanding other scriptural things. And just because it's biblical doesn't mean it's scriptural. Just because it's a Bible verse misapplied, the truth misapplied is still a lie. And that's why the Holy Spirit helps you to apply the truth in the right way. So you got to check yourself. You have, matter of fact, nudge your neighbor and say, you got a hard heart. You didn't have to ask him. You already know. And then this phrase, mixed with faith. I love this phrase, mixed with faith. That's in that scripture we just read. It means united with. So mixed with faith means, what's mixed with faith mean? It means I'm united with. I'm united with, and it means in agreement. So when they heard the word, They were not united with the one who was speaking it. Every promise of God comes out of the person of God. No promise or every promise is only as good as the person making that promise. Because you know they're able to perform it. There's certain people in this room. So if I came up to you and I said, hey, I'm going to give you $1 million. Most of y'all would be like, But there's some people in this room that if they came up and said, I'm going to give you $1 million, you'd be like, okay, because I think you can perform it. And see, God, who's able, and you know he can back up his word. He's faithful and he's true. So when he gives you a promise, do you somehow because of your pain, do you somehow because of your pressure, do you somehow because of something that's forming in the way you think or what's happened to you or whatever or what you did, what somebody else did, is something happening to cause you to not believe he's able or not believe he's willing to fulfill the thing he's promised? That's resisting the word. That's how a hard heart is formed. And we begin to get drier and stuff. But what needs to happen is we got to be mixed with faith, which means I believe the one who's speaking it, and I believe what he is speaking. And I'm in agreement. I'm in agreement. That's faith, agreement. Faith is trust. Agreement is trust. I'm in agreement. And Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, you can read that whole thing on your own. But what it says there is that Jesus, it means we cast off and lay aside the sin and the weight that so easily entangles us. And we look to Jesus, who's the author and the... That's what that scripture says. The author and finisher. The creator and the sustainer. He's the author of our faith. So every faith element in your life has been authorized by Jesus because he is the author of faith. And so if we're going to walk by faith and be activated by faith, it comes out of the person of who he is. And I love how it says in one of the translations in Hebrews 12, it says, looking unto Jesus, the champion and finisher of our faith. So faith is not us trusting in ourselves. Faith is us trusting in him. And Romans 10, 17, we read this verse a couple weeks ago, that Romans 10, 17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So faith comes by hearing. How do we get faith? It comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So that phrase comes by means out of or out from. And the simple way to say it is it comes by or it comes through, but it means it comes out of. So if I'm walking by faith, where did my present faith come out of? Him. Where did my present, think about this, where did my present faith come out of? Him. Who authored it? Who created it? Him. If you have faith in anything other than him, that is a man-made faith. And man-made faith is by the working of the flesh. You're believing what somebody else can do. You're believing what you can do. That's the works of the law. That's the work of faith. That's what Paul was saying. You foolish Galatians, you started off believing what he could do by the hearing of faith. And you've devolved through churches that won't teach you, through churches that will entertain you instead of equip you, churches that give you a concert instead of a throne to worship God. Churches that make it about you instead of making it about him. Churches that put all of us at the center instead of him at the center. And what happens is we stop walking by faith in him and we walk in faith in us. Faith in our system, faith in our structure, faith in our money, faith in our intellect, faith in what we've done. Look what we have built. Those who labor, labor in vain, unless the Lord builds the house. So it's faith in him always, always. Doesn't matter what happens. I've been at the bedside of people who were dying of sickness and dying of disease, who were lifting their hands and worshiping God. And they know that God's a healer. They know that God's a savior. And they were believing for healing because that's who he is. But the healing didn't come. I don't know why, but the healing didn't come. And they died in faith. And so even when the promise of faith is not fully realized in your life, you don't stop having faith in him, because even though your loved one died, even though that thing failed, even though they did this against you, he's still worthy. He's still holy. And you can still trust him. And the answers you have now, or the questions you have now about why didn't this happen the way I wanted it to, they'll be answered at the right time. Stop letting your life be lived by questions and start living by the answer. Live by faith. I'm telling you, I'm talking to somebody. Live by faith. So the word logos, see, when you see the word word in your Bible, there's two major Greek words that are seen. When we see the word word in English in our Bible, it could be one of two major Greek words. The first one is logos, which means logic. It means the complete thought, meaning the verse. See, the Bible is the logos of God, the complete logic of God, the A to Z, complete thought, logic of God. Technically, that could be either spoken or written, because for many years, the Bible, the word of God, was passed down in verbally, and it wasn't always written. So it can be, the logos is the complete logic of God, could be spoken or written, but it's communicated, it's A to Z. The word rhema, which is the other word for word, is a spoken word, and it means you're taking certain letters out of the alphabet and you're applying them to a certain situation, like today. Where the Holy Spirit takes from the complete logic of God, pulls out the pieces that you need for this today's recipe and puts it into the mix and releases it with the prophetic unction into your life. And he speaks a spoken word, which is the voice of God. So two things that faith connects you with, the verse of God and the voice of God. And your Bible in Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the word there is not the word logos, it's the word rhema. So let me say to you this way, faith does not come from you reading your Bible. That'll mess with some of y'all. Faith does not come from you reading your Bible. Faith comes from your reading your Bible, studying the word of God with a hearing heart. And the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, says, today. And a promise spoken many years ago to other people in Christ, is now released to you. Because all the promises of God are yes and amen in him. So when you're reading, that's why you need to read and study. You're not looking to pull something out of it, and you're not looking in the flesh or in your intellect to try to pull a word out, you know, flip open and try to find something and then apply that to your situation. That could be a flesh-driven word. What happens is when you begin to live in relationship with the Lord, you come to God through his word and you meditate on his word, you study the word. What will happen is the voice of God will match the verse of God. And he'll speak it today to you. And when he speaks to you, that's the author of faith authorizing you to that promise. So faith comes by hearing Jesus and his Spirit speak to you through an introduction and an interaction that should be intimate. So he spoke to you. My friend who I was talking of, who died, he felt like Jesus spoke to him saying he would be healed. So that's what he believed. And on the day that he died, he died in faith, absent from the body, present with the Lord. The next thing he knows, he's standing before the one who promised him. And his reward was not based on the outcome of whether he was healed or not. His reward was based on, I took you at your word. I took you at your word. And that's how your faith outlives your life. Because death does not have the final word. Struggle, suffering, persecution, seasons of difficulty do not have the final word. The author and finisher of my faith has the final word. Worship team, go ahead and come on up to just encourage me to try to stop. So notice the verse and the voice. The verse and the voice. If you're struggling with hearing his voice, you need to spend more time in the verse. And if you're struggling with understanding the verse, as you read the verse, you need to ask God to help you hear his voice. And then you need to test what you think God is saying to you. You test it with the verse. You test it with other mature believers to make sure your interpretation is right, because you might be a quarter inch off. You have to test it according to the word. But you need the verse and the voice if you're going to activate faith in your life. And that last thing I want you to see is you can learn to live by faith and activate the King's realities in and through your life if you will look to the verse of God. Is the Bible the authority of your life? Do you have a biblical and Christ-centered worldview? Does your relationship with Jesus and the authority of the Word, is that the foundation of everything you think, do, and say? You look to the verse. The second thing you do is you listen to the voice of God. Whose voice moves you? Which voice moves you to action? Faith is our activator. Faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And then live in agreement with what he says. So many opinions, so many voices in our world today, so many people saying this and saying that. And I'm telling you, your relationship with God is your most valuable resource. That you come to him and you believe his word. You believe his word. And some of you, you're waiting to go to the next level. You're waiting on God. You're waiting on others. You're waiting on whoever. Maybe you're waiting on certain things to happen. And what I'm saying is stop waiting. Stop waiting. Because God's waiting on you. Your family's waiting on you. Your business partners are waiting on you. Your employees are waiting on you. Your employee is waiting on you. Your kids are waiting on you. The city is waiting on you. Angels are waiting on you. Your pastor's waiting on you. We're waiting on you, not just to come to church. I thank God that you came to church, but to step up and say, I will walk by faith. I will be introduced to faith, and my introduction will lead to interaction with the Word of God, and I will be in the verse, and I will listen for the voice, and I will be around other people who know how to rightly divide the verse and rightly hear the voice. And until I get it, I'll bum off their Wi-Fi. And I'll be in agreement with not what I feel, not with what I think, but I'll repent because I know the King is at hand. He's within my reach. His reality is now my reality. And I will listen in this relationship. I will read the word relationally. I read the word relationally to walk in love with him. Like, you ever read a text or an email from somebody that you love? They send you something and you're just like, ooh, and you just get into it. And you're so excited about reading it because you're in love with the one that sent it to you. That's how you read the Bible. That's how you read the Bible. And when you start doing that, what'll happen is you'll start taking action and things will change when you change. And you'll come into agreement with God. And you'll start walking by faith. And your faith will be tested, which we'll talk about next week. But you pass the test. You pass the test. And you go to the next level. And you watch God overflow in your life. Because no matter what happens to you, See, what happens to you is not nearly as important as what happens in you. And He's worthy. And He's able. And He's your author and finisher of faith. So as we go into this time of worship, I want the prayer team to come up. And I want you to respond in relationship to the Lord. I want you to let this word sink into you. For some of you, what that will mean, as this prayer team comes up, as some of you, what that will mean is you're in here and you've never given your life to Christ. If you're to die right now, there's no confidence that you would end up in heaven. And you've been running from God, and today's the day that you surrender. Today's the day that you take your first step of faith and you come and you give your life to Jesus. You just come tell them, I need to give my life to Jesus. For some of you, you've maybe been in church, but you've been away from God. You've been distracted. You've been distracted. You've been living away from God. You need to come and repent and just say, forgive me, Lord. And you need to return to the Lord. Whether that's talking to one of the people here or just coming to the altar, you need to come. Some of you have family members that are far from God, and you need to come on their behalf and pray for them. And some of you in this room are in a very dry place. Maybe you've been stubborn. Maybe you've been prideful, and the Holy Spirit is talking to you right now. And you need to come, and you just need to humble yourself and say, Lord, help me, help me, help me. Man, I just had this strong image. Early in my walk with God, there was a Bible study that I went to. I didn't go to. It was actually at my house. I didn't want to be there. I was stuck. I was like, it was an ambush. Anybody had an ambush Bible study? It was supposed to be on poker night. I was going to poker night. But it got changed because I was in trouble, and I had to have this Bible study night instead of poker night. And they came. This lady came in with a Bible, and this is the image that I just got. God reminded me of what happened. As we open up the Bible, I'd had earlier in my life this manifestation where it felt like oil was coming down my head and coming inside of me like a buzz, like ain't no high, like the Most High kind of stuff, like flowing over me and moving over me. And it just was like the peace and presence of the Lord in a very tangible way. And that started happening, except this time the words on the page, and I don't remember what verse it was, but the words on the page started coming up off the page. And I watched them in the air, probably looking cross-eyed at it, watched it come, and it went into my mouth. And I've never stopped following Jesus since. I've not been perfect, but I've never stopped putting His word in my mouth since. That's why I pray over you, the word would leap off the page. That His voice would leap off the page, and you would treasure the scriptures because the author is worth it. And I just pray this over you. Maybe some of you have been asking for this, and the Lord just, I felt like He interrupted me with this. So I just want to pray this over you. Matter of fact, here's what I want to do. Everybody here who says, man, that's me. I need that in my life. Everybody needs it, but for those who are not walking in it, because some of you are already walking that, I need that, and it's not happening in my life. I need the Holy Spirit to make the voice jump off the page. I need that desperately in my life right now, and I acknowledge that, and I want that. You come up right here, right now. Just get up out of your seat, come right here. Those of you who are already walking it, you help me pray for these people. I think there's a transfer. I think there's an activation that's about to happen. You do what you want to do, but I'm telling you, I think it's about to happen. You just come. Just come stand right up here. And once we pray, we're going to go into worship. And as we go into worship, if there's anything you have to minister to one another, go pray for one another. Minister to one another. And you can come to the altar and receive prayer for those who will be standing up here. Open your hands and heart before the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for the reminder of how You make all things new. And now it's Your will for your sheep to hear your voice. That's your will. You made that accessible for us. So right now, in Jesus' name, anything that may be hindering or blocking, blinding or deafening these men and women, these disciples of Christ, from hearing your voice, in Jesus' name, we rebuke it, we cut its head off, and we command for that to cease and to be no more. And we pray an open heaven over them, that your voice, they will hear and know and see your voice. Father, what you gave to me and have given to so many others as their pastor, I release unto them and activate into them by faith, that your voice will leap off the page as they are faithful, as they are good stewards, as they are dedicated to your word, God, as they seek you through your word. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, the Spirit of truth will leap off the page. The Spirit, their guide, their teacher, their comforter, would leap off the page. I pray you give them dreams. I pray you give them visions, God. I pray you awaken them. I pray you activate them in Jesus' name. Let them put two and two together. Let them have the discernment of the Holy Spirit. I pray right now in Jesus' name, an activation of faith, that their heart would overwhelm with the joy of the Lord. And that there's fresh oil, God. That there's fresh bread in their life, God. I pray just an activation right now by faith. That what you gave to me as their pastor, God, you give to them. And let it be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Y'all, let's worship the Lord.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.